10 o'clock hour.
Of Wilde and Tausch. Begins now. Let's get back to your calls. 844-770-3776. Packers lose to the Bears for the first time under Matt LaFleur. Jordan Love leaves the game with a right elbow injury. Ulnar nerve causing his hand to go numb. That was not great, Bob.
No.
Could have returned, but after watching Christian Watson possibly, most likely, tear his ACL on a non-contact injury, Matt LaFleur said, no, I don't think we need to put Jordan back in there. At one point, both their quarterbacks had hand injuries.
Well, I was going to say Malik Willis took one of the biggest shots you're ever going to see. I don't know if they were supposed to leave that dude unblocked.
I don't believe they were.
It looked like he split his sternum in half. That looked violent.
And not only that, but on his fantastic throw to Malik Heath, who makes a great catch to get them in position for that touchdown, he injures his hand, and then on the two-point conversion, he can't grip the ball. Which,
yeah, not great.
Not what you're looking for on a two-point conversion play when you choose to pass.
You know what I loved about yesterday, too? It just, and again, I know this isn't a Bears show. The Bears go for two to go up nine, which, by the way, I totally disagree. I understand the premise, but I think it's idiotic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they get a penalty to move it closer, and they decide to kick.
And then they kick. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That tells you that there's no actual principle behind the analytics of what the hell they're talking about.
No doubt.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, we're on the same page.
Let's go to Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got for us?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Hey,
great.
Eric.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Currently feeding a baby a bottle right now. So during the commercial break, kind of doing that clock management of how much milk do we have left versus when is this call going to happen. So we'll hope I have a better clock management than LaFleur yesterday at the end.
Well, not a very high bar.
Has LaFleur become McCarthy with clock management?
We're all in this sucker together.
I can't believe I can't believe I'd ask that question. But go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say this is coming from a program that famously doesn't always have the best clock management too. So we'll kind of scoot that aside.
Very frustrating.
It's a fair criticism. You want us to argue with Eric? He's right.
Eric, your point.
We'll hop right into negatives right away. And for me, the biggest thing, too, was, and for background, I am a physical therapist. When I saw that Christian Watson was coming in yesterday, last minute, my fear was that it was related to Romeo Doubs. And that's, again, it's one of those things, like, is the bone bruise directly related to the ACL? Probably not, but if you are compensating, you are more likely to have other injuries, even to the opposite leg. From the look of that injury, it looked, again, non-contact. It looked very ACL-y. Jason, I know you mentioned yesterday that they can do a couple tests. You mentioned a drawer test. That's an anterior drawer test, otherwise a Lachman test. And on the field, the athletic trainers and therapists can do a pretty good job. If it's positive, it's one of those things that's going to show pretty quick. You can have a false negative, similar to what Tausch had back in the day with his MCL. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those tests that if it's positive, you kind of know early. And then looking at the body language of him leaving the field, oof. And lastly with that, it's just the tough thing for Christian Watson, even beyond the playoffs, obviously, because that's a pretty easy narrative. You just feel for the guy. He's going to be eligible for a contract extension today. And the fact that he went out there with his buddy Romeo going down and said, you know what, I'm going to suit up in a game that's pretty meaningless, it again, speaks a lot on his character. So it's tough to see bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, it undeniably is. Thanks for the call, Eric. Look,
just wait, Eric, concerned, not concerned? Are you,
yes.
I mean, yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Oh, for ACL?
Concern's going to win this.
No, are you concerned about the team right now?
The team.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say ACL, very concerned. For the team right now, yeah, it's one of those things right now. We talked a lot about momentum, and I think had we either committed to playing all backups and just kind of, you know, taking the approach the Chiefs did yesterday, then it's kind of like a preseason game. It's whatever. But the fact that we were kind of half in, half out, and we had enough guys trying that.
Can't be half pregnant.
Now that you lost the way you did, yeah, if the mindset was to go in and get up by 100 and then put in the backups, yeah, we certainly didn't do that. It's not like we were winning when Jordan Love went out and when Watson went out. So there's concern.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Eric. So Ricardo counts as not concerned only because his default setting is that he's never concerned and it's the playoffs.
Did that sound like a guy concerned to you? Sure didn't to me.
Sounded like a guy who's unfailingly positive going through a number of negatives during his call, which may, for Ricardo, count as concerned. Let's keep going with the calls. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Tuck and text line. Let's go to Jeremy in Florida. Jeremy, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. Are you concerned or are you not concerned?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Hey, man, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm concerned more from the top down, guys. I know Goody's done a great job, but just looking from last year's draft, man, we got tackle Jordan Morgan, didn't play our year. Edrin Cooper, we criminally used him, we underused him. Safety Javon Bullard, we used him too much. He wasn't ready. Marshawn Lloyd, we didn't play at all on IR season. Tyron Hopper, the linebacker from Missouri, we should have saw him. We didn't see him all year, basically. Evan Williams, our fourth rounder, was our best draft pick, and he was a fourth rounder. Our offensive tackle, Jacob Monk, barely saw him. Ketan Oladapo, we barely saw him. Michael Pratt's no longer with us. Cornerback Kalen King, with all the injuries, he never got moved up from the practice squad so we could see him. So we got one player on that, Evan Williams, the only player that actually contributed to this year's success.
Cooper's been good.
Then we got Matt LaFleur, who we got the ball back with the interception. Matt LaFleur hiking the ball at 20 seconds instead of telling Malik, "Hey, run the clock down to 3 seconds, hike the ball." Why did the Bears get the ball back with like 50 something seconds on the clock? And then lastly, Jeff Hafley on the defense. Why are we running prevent defense with guys at the end zone waiting on a touchdown as if they don't need 3 points to score? So I'm very top down.
Yeah, so Jeremy, I think there's a couple things you addressed there. Draft classes. First of all, I think Edrin Cooper has been fantastic. He makes a lot of mistakes. And so they've been trying to find the sweet spot between he makes a lot of plays and he makes a lot of mistakes. And I think they've actually done a pretty good job of that, because you heard him even after the Minnesota game where he had four tackles for loss, Matt LaFleur talking about how it was a mixed bag of Gardettos, his performance. So I'm okay with that. Evan Williams has been great. They miss him. They need him back this week, and I don't know if that's going to happen or not. So they feel there's been some good things there. Now, the two things that I want to address. First, last one first. I don't understand why. Look at the wide view of the defense on the final completion to set up the field goal. Jeremy is right. They are playing beyond the 30-yard line. Now, they're not playing down at the goal line for a Hail Mary necessarily, but they're way too far. They're way too deep. I don't understand it. So that's a fair critique. Now, my question to you, Tausch, because Homer was very riled up about the timeout and the clock management before the go-ahead field goal. Now, if you are going to criticize Matt LaFleur for being indecisive there on a 55-yard field goal and calling the timeout, I understand that, okay? But I don't have a problem with them snapping the ball on the third down play with 20 seconds left, because I don't think with Malik Willis at quarterback, they know what they're going to have. And I'm not sure that Matt LaFleur, despite pregame kicking, which according to Bill Huber, Brandon McManus made one from 58 yards during pregame warmups. Matt LaFleur wasn't sure if he wanted to kick it there. That's why he called the timeout. No. And did he get frazzled by the fact that the third down and two play lost 2 yards to then leave them on fourth and four? He was thinking he had to go for it. And then he calls the timeout. Rich Bisaccia and Brandon McManus convince him to kick it. They do. He makes it. My issue is the way they handled it defensively, we're not crushing LaFleur for his time management if they execute better defensively. Does he deserve criticism for his time management? No doubt. No doubt. Indecisive? No doubt. But Tausch, help us understand from your perspective as a former player, how badly did LaFleur bungle that situation, in your estimation?
Yeah, it was bungled. I also give a little bit of grace because that's a long kick. I think they assumed they'd get the first down, run the clock out, and you know go about their business.
Right.
But you have to be ready for every situation. You have to understand, well, we don't get anything. Are we kicking it here? Do we run it down? You force Chicago to use that last timeout because if they do that, then they don't get in position. All of those things are in play. And Matt LaFleur, I think Matt LaFleur has done a really good job of getting the ball back before end of half. I think he is aggressive. And I think this was a scenario where it was no man's land. And if you play tennis or pickleball, you don't want to be in no man's land. You either get up to the net or you stay back. You don't want to be in that middle. That was where they were at. So with all that said, don't get a horse collar tackle. The inexcusable part was the end. You know you can't give up a sideline throw, and you know you can't give up the middle of the field. You know it takes about 10 to 12 seconds because we had a play – and the Bears didn't even do this. Called the church play. You catch it over the middle, go to a knee, set the ball, give it so you can set it up quick and spike the ball and go get a kickoff. They didn't even run that. So if you're Valentine there, hold them up. Don't take them to the ground. You have to teach that too. None of that was. That was just PP execution in all accounts. That's what that was.
PP Longstocking, am I right? Let's get to. Come on, you're the PP. Never mind. A text from
it's
the talking text line.
It's Pippi Longstocking.
Well, I had to adjust it to fit what you said.
Oh well, that didn't make any sense to me. So
Jesse, did that make sense to you?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Well, let's go to the text line.
New year, same old blank. I see. Okay. I get it.
Respectfully disagree with Tausch, says Boomer in Chicago on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Yesterday was important. Doesn't matter how bad the opponent was, this team has been plagued by offensive slow starts and inconsistency, brutal penalties, and failure to get off the field defensively in key moments. This was their last chance to prove they could clean it up, and they failed miserably. Why should we think they do it next week in the playoffs when they couldn't all year? Holding out hope they'll pull off a win, but confidence is at an all-season low, says Boomer in Chicago.
Pull it.
Now surrounded
by Bears fans. Pull it what Boomer just said.
Fans.
I don't know if Boomer's got a text handle. Is confidence at an all-time low for this season for this football team? I'm fascinated to find that answer.
Okay, well, we'll have dueling polls because since we have our tote board on the video stream, I polled, are you concerned about the Packers heading into the playoffs after the way they closed the regular season with back-to-back losses?
Jason. Everybody's concerned. It's just the level of what concern level. Are you at NORAD 5 or NORAD 1?
Oh, like that's so you
where
are,
this is.
So you would acknowledge that you
are concerned. Yeah, I've never said I'm not concerned. I went from this team is up there with Detroit and Philly, and now I can't say that. But to say, I guess I want to nestle in that the expectations nestling. Now nuzzling. The expectations are low. That's a good thing when you're an underdog. You have that underdog approach. I didn't want to be in that position, but that's where we're at. But this all is gone, hope is lost. It's just not where I'm at, because if we not watched NFL games, do we not know what can happen? Of course we do. That doesn't mean it always will, but to sit here and crown the Eagles after a quarterback's been out for a month, I wouldn't be so crowny if I was anti-Packerland. And I'm not anti-Packerland. And I can see how that can get misconstrued.
Oh, I can see.
You misconstrued me.
Sure, I'm a misconstruer.
I don't think yesterday is going to indicate whether or not we're going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And that was where I'm coming from right after the game, and I still believe that. The issues this team has had, Jason, it's not just a bare game deal. It's an all-season deal. And that you can be concerned about. But the fact that we lost to the stinking Bears yesterday is at the bottom of my list as far as concerns go.
Yeah. Not that they lost. It's how they lost.
Did I make myself clear?
Crystal, is your confidence in the Packers heading into the playoffs at the lowest it has been all season? That's what I'm asking.
Ooh, I think everybody's going to say yes, and it's fascinating to me because we lost to the Bears. I just can't get on board with that. But it's a fair point because of the injury. But so let's make sure we remind people that your starting quarterback after, I would say, the second to last play of the game in Brazil would be where my confidence was at all when we thought Jordan Love was out for the season. There are other moments, even though it feels like 6 years ago, that this team had to withstand and go through. And by the way, they came out of it pretty good for the most part.
Yes, and all season low, no, it's not that low. Those are the questions that are on the Twitter feed for you to answer our poll questions. We'll get them into the YouTube comments as well. 844-770-3776. That is the talk and text line, the Carbless talk and text line. Tausch, tell us about what American Family Insurance has going on before we get to more calls.
Well, it is still the season of giving. This year, you can double your impact for the thousands of children receiving top-notch care over at the American Family Children's Hospital. Sarah and I, we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds for the American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Proceeds go towards therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients, and American Family Insurance will match donations all the way up to $50,000. We're almost there. Head over to AmFam4Kids. That's for the number. AmFam4Kids.org. To donate today, you have until the 17th. So we got about 10 days left. We've almost accomplished our goal. So if you have it in you, head over to amfam4kids.org.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Calls, both poll questions in the field. Lots of comments in the YouTube dwelling on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. We'll get to a few of those. And, of course, I'm sure Jesse has been inundated with text messages on the Carbless.
Jason, quick question for you before we get back to calls.
Yes, sir.
I'm seeing this a lot. Let's say we go to Philly, and as you and many people, I don't know what you're going to predict because you don't predict. Let's say Philly boat races us. Is Matt LaFleur on the hot seat?
Really?
I'm asking you. I'm seeing it a lot. I think there's no chance, but I do think if this thing ends and Philly beats the heck out of us, there are going to be a lot of people questioning Matt LaFleur.
There are. That doesn't mean that they're right. Look, has he made mistakes? Yes. Were your points about his emotions valid? Absolutely. And I was talking to their VP of communications, Jason Wallers, yesterday about this. I told him, look, I wanted to talk to LaFleur about that. But I didn't want to put him on blast at the podium because I thought he would answer it better. Well, now we're into the playoffs. This is something that I do want to sit down with him after the season, whenever it ends, whether it's Sunday or later, and talk about the ways in which he needs to improve as a coach. And I do want to address that in a straightforward manner.
Sure.
Like not, I don't want to rip him without talking to him. So do I think that there is room for criticism for Matt LaFleur? Abso-blankin-lutely there is. The idea that they would be better off with someone else coaching them.
That's crazy.
There would be a line around the block if he became available to all these teams that are firing coaches. And what I always think about on Black Monday is I understand that it's disappointing when you lose. I understand it's going to be disappointing when they don't make it to the Super Bowl because that is not my expectation. But that doesn't mean that the continuity and the quality and the process that they go through to build this team is wrong. So if there's a segment of the fan base that thinks he sucks and his seat should not only be fired up, but he should be booted. And then there's also a group, mysteriously, that thinks they'd have a better chance to win with Malik Willis at quarterback right now. And nobody likes Malik more than me, but come on now. Come on. Really? So I have higher expectations for the people that listen to this program.
Okay.
That to think that they should fire Matt LaFleur, I can't be that guy.
I'm going to tell you right now, if things go south quickly on Sunday and it's a beatdown, I'm going to promise you Monday you're going to hear people calling for that. I can guarantee you that. And again, not saying I feel that way or you feel that way, but I like listening to fans. It's not their job to do that. It's our job. And I do think that there is a certain part of the fan base, however small it is, that are starting to question where Matt LaFleur is at with this, leading this football team. And yesterday was a bad day for Matt. It just was. But Sunday can be a glorious day. Sunday could be the biggest win since last year's first playoff game.
Right.
If he
and you're right.
Find a way to do it.
That's back-to-back weeks that have been bad days for Matt.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to Tim in West Bend. Tim, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got, buddy?
Good morning. Patient with me. I got a lot here. Okay, number one, clock management. Very, very, very disappointing. That was very much Mike McCarthy-ish. And on a side note, I wish Mike would have won yesterday because I would like to see him stay in Dallas for a long, long time. No need to say more about that. Tausch, you're becoming a little bit of a homer. I think you're too positive about how things are going and, it'll just be fine and we just settle down. No, it's not. 3 weeks ago, we were considered the cream of the crop. I mean, we were saying, those 3-4 teams don't deserve to be there. They're lucky they're in the divisions they are. Now, nobody's afraid to play the Packers, and it's an attitude thing. They need to play more. You think about I watched some of Detroit. I've been watching more of them, and they play like their hair's on fire. That's how the Packers need to play. You were around in 2010 when the Packers eked into the playoffs. They played like their hair was on fire. The second half of the Super Bowl with the Patriots when they were down 28-0, they played like their hair was on fire. That's how they need to play. The last time the Packers were fun to watch was the last 2 minutes of the Vikings game, which they played. How did they play? Like their hair
with their hair on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need that kind of attitude. They need more Dan Campbell and less Mike McCarthy. I mean, they need to draw up and design up plans that are fun, that are chancy, that are out there wild on the outskirts of norm. That's what they need to do. Did you see how Chicago fooled us on that punt yesterday?
I did.
That's the kind of stuff they need to do. Am I wrong?
No. So with all that said, and I'm not going to fight you on the homer part. I do still think they have a chance. Do you think they have a shot at beating Philly next week, or do you think it's over?
If they change their attitude, if he comes through the door and says, hey, I had it all wrong, here's what we need to do. I mean, you think about Dan Campbell. They got a lot of injuries. Why do they have a lot of injuries? Because their players play their heart out for him. And I mean, they believe in the guy. I mean, the guy, you know, I'm not saying become Dan Campbell, but, you know, Minnesota tried to play a little bit like that yesterday, but they couldn't keep it up. I mean,
you are who you are, though. And that's not who Matt LaFleur is, right? I mean, he's apparently emotional when he shouldn't be, but he's not. That's not what their program. You can't go, oh my gosh, we've lost two in a row. We have to do everything differently. To me, the biggest question and the biggest issue is that he is a smart, offensive-minded coach,
and
their passing
game
sucks.
Get guys open. I agree 100%. That's it. All the other stuff, and thanks for the call. I'm not going to argue a bunch of stuff that he just said there, but
especially
Matt
not
LaFleur,
the Homer
the passing
part.
Game and the offensive. Yeah, I have Homer tendencies. I have never argued that. But I call it pretty doggone straight. I still
you
think
do.
They got a shot.
You do. You
I think
do.
They got a
I'm
shot.
Just
Here's
joking.
The deal. What you're saying about Matt LaFleur is 1,000% correct. He is a good coach because offensively, he schematically gets guys open. I don't know how many times I listened to you say, I don't know how wide open these guys are. When's the last time we said that?
I don't know.
So
I don't know.
It can't... If that's your bread and butter, Dan right. Campbell's bread and butter is we're going to bite kneecaps and we're going to play our tuckuses off. Love that. Great. Kudos to y'all. Was their defense doing that against us and against San Fran? No, it wasn't. You can play with your hair on fire, but you're giving up 35 points to a team that ain't very good. Here's when it comes to Matt LaFleur, the offensive passing game is a staple. He has moved to running the football more. He's using Josh Jacobs. He's got a bunch of different schemes, pulling guys, pin and pull, all the stuff. Kudos to him for not just saying, I'm an outside zone guy, and that's what I do. Nope. Adjust. Really good stuff. Get back to your play action passing. Get back to under center and faking some hand and getting some big plays on first down and start doing that. That's when you get to use your scheming. Not on 3rd and 7. So if you're not going to do that, you're not going to beat Philly. But my guess is Matt LaFleur is going to have his hair on fire. He's going to come out more emotional than ever. And you know what, Matt? You do it. Just don't do it on every stinking play and don't ride that wave. But when you get these boys fired up by doing it, the way you're going to get them fired up is by scheming up good stuff and your offense having a ton of success. That's the part that's concerning to me.
Were you concerned about how Prize Picks went for you as well?
Oh, I had a bad day. I had a bad day yesterday. There was a – Jesse, I don't know if you played this. You got the $25 free play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday. I went – so what I did, I used my sports opinions, which I usually do, and I tried to turn it into real cash, which unfortunately didn't happen.
A lot of Packers
but I went
wars
with
then,
a
huh?
I went with a six-piece nug yesterday. I looked at the incentives that guys had in their contracts. Dobbins. It didn't work. The only one I had success with, I went with McManus with field goals because I had a hunch it was going to be a choppy game that they were going to kick. That part was about it for me. But it was still super fun to play. Prize Picks, over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings, makes daily fantasy fun, and you can win up to 1,000 times your cash. Had I hit yesterday on that free play, going to be a nice little chunk of change for old T, but that didn't happen. But again, 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks, and Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. Prize Picks, the best way to win real money. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Download the app. Use the code WI. You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, app. Download that app. Use code WI, and you get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run.
Your
game. More of your calls next. It's Will D'Antosh.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you end on yourself. So irritating.
get to one more call here, and then we'll get to Brian and Gina and Ryan and Mike and Dave and Mike and Randy and Jesse and everybody else. Let's go to Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch.
Good morning.
Are you concerned or not?
Yeah, I'm a little more concerned than I have been the rest of the year. I think with everything that's going on lately with some of the coaching decisions, which was going to be kind of my main complaint, but I think that's been done to death today. And I do think that anybody who thinks, even if we get rubbed Sunday, that they would get rid of LaFleur, I think, is nuts. I mean, don't be sold the youngest team in football.
Yep.
Crazy. Mm.
Growth is not linear. I don't know if you've heard.
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I've heard today.
I have heard that. And, you know, the other thing, I just two quick things. If I could have one comment and one question. If I could, I also want to answer or ask a question on behalf of Mrs. Sparky for the two of you.
Mm.
So,
okay. As the Yule log.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Burn it hot.
It's fine. First thing was the kicking game yesterday. That was unbelievable. I thought the play by Waylon, the punter, that, I don't know how he got that punt off. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a bad snap. So, yeah.
Special teams,
a real difference. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The other play left a little something to be desired, since we gave them probably 13 to 14 points between the punt return, fumble, the bad decisions on timing.
Indeed.
But the question I, on behalf of Mrs. Sparky, have you heard anything about the Packers buying tickets in Philly to sell to Packers season ticket holders so that we can resell them for 3 to 4 times the face value to help finance the possible trip for a Packer game in Ireland?
Yeah, I don't know what the Wilfs are shelling out for the Packers to buy back tickets in Philly. Was that a genius move by the Vikings or a stupid move?
No, I think anytime you can ingratiate yourself to the fans, I think it's a good move. So, no, am I going to sit here and criticize Minnesota for buying tickets and giving their fans an opportunity to go and help their team on the road in a huge game? I'm not.
There were reports that people then bought them at face value from the Vikings and then resold them and made a profit off of that. That would be IPT, if you ask me.
It would be IPT, but I can't believe that would happen.
All right. We will get to more of your calls coming up. Quick text on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Here's a question, writes DJ in the Saw.
It's Wausau.
I've never heard of Wausau being called the Saw.
Oh, you have now.
Yeah, I like that.
If the Packers have been consistently starting slow, why does LaFleur keep opting to take the ball in the first half after winning the coin toss? Yeah, isn't there an analytics nerd in that building that can alert the coaching staff to their negative tendencies? When he took the ball yesterday, I was like, "What are you doing?"
Goes with his gut.
Well. He wanted to get his guys out, score a bunch of points, and get them out. That's what
he
wanted.
Against a terrible offense, you would certainly hope that your defense would have forced a punt on the opening possession by the Bears, and then you got the ball right away after you forced a three and out.
Hey, Matt, with your offense's passing game the way it is, and with Jalen Hurts not playing for a month, defer this week. Just defer.
Yeah. Fair. Don't defer. Make sure you go to Associated Bank and make the switch if you've been unhappy with your bank. Like I was years and years ago with a big, big national bank. I didn't like it. It was time to change. I went to Associated Bank and they made everything change for us. The great customer service. And if you're a Packers fan, no better place to be. Packers checking, Packers checks, Packers debit MasterCard, and a 10% discount at the Packers Pro Shop. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more. More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Get get to one more call during the 10 o'clock hour, and then Gina, Ryan, Mike, Dave, Mike, and Randy, you'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Let's go to Brian in St. Paul, Minnesota. Brian, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. Are you concerned?
Well, I don't know if he's listening.
Hi, Brian. Brian? Should we keep eavesdropping into his conversation with Mrs. Brian?
There might be a very important conversation.
What do you think they're talking about back there?
Level of concern for the Packers heading into the playoffs.
I don't think so. I think they're talking about what they need for groceries. Let's go to next in line.
Good grocery day today.
You think so?
A little chilly.
Yeah, kind of a reset after the holiday weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just swing by Quick Trip, pick up potatoes and chicken. Yeah. You can have everything you need for dinner tonight. Let's go to Gina in Eagle. Gina Della doesn't live in Eagle, does she? She wouldn't call. She would say she was calling from the Pella Experience.
So that's what I thought. It doesn't not sound like her, though.
Okay. Gina, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Gina.
I love your enthusiasm already. And you've got your dogs barking just like I usually have at my house.
She was quiet all morning.
I feel your pain. I know that feeling. Are you concerned about the Packers, Gina?
Okay. No. First of all, I am with Ricardo and Tausch. Tausch, never, ever apologize for being a homer. Such a thing as the power of positive thinking. Your thoughts.
You are a lot of things.
Yeah, Jason's not a manifester. Okay. He's just a Debbie Downer.
Jason, you could use a little bit more power of the positive thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyhow, to my point, and actually, Tausch, you brought this up, I want to circle back to it. The body of work, all of our losses, with the exception of two, have been two.
There's only six.
There was one, three. Oh, hey, hang on.
Let her go, Jason. Positivity.
Yeah, Jason, Mr. Negative.
Okay. So we are in anything, okay? We are there. And the two teams, okay, they are the 1-2 teams. We said if we didn't win the division, tough sledding, all of those things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One score with Philly. One score, I think the Lions, we had a tough road the first game. Anyway, I think Philly got a little exposed when they gave up that top seed loss to Washington. So that's in their head, too. Let's not forget. Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota, also, I would not want to be a Minnesota fan this morning. I'm sorry. I would not. You got embarrassed on national TV and exposed as the frauds that you are. Okay?
Wow.
Doesn't sound very positive.
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. You know, you can't have any love towards the evil purple.
I'm with
gold.
You, Gina.
Okay.
I'm with you.
But here's the thing. There is the power of positive thinking, and I will also add a few receipts. When we have Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, who all have tasted but not fully experienced playoff football. They've done playoff football, but they are ready to roll. And they will be in that locker room as also a force. And if Matt can bring his emotion, but make it work for him with the positive, reminding himself the offensive genius that he is and how he can scheme up and get players open, we can absolutely go in there and make a statement. But all of us need to stop, again, all of this hate talk, because you know what? Mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, we delivered a shutout, a donut, on a team that is never easy to do in the National Football League, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So stop with this negative talk. We had a temper. There was some human error.
Yep.
Okay, fine. But I am not going to be sitting here going, they're out of it, they suck, one and done. That doesn't help anything. You are your thoughts.
Agreed.
And I know this team believes in each other. You can tell. You see it on their interviews.
They like each other, no doubt.
They love each other. They are fighting for each other. You saw that interview with Jordan, and I can't remember. I think was it Gary who was like, "Give the man his due." Like, they are going to obviously run through fire. So again, I'm a homer. Yeah, heck yeah, proud of it.
Thanks for telling us.
What about it? But I have some receipts to back it up.
All right, now Gina, before we go, I'm telling
just
you
wait,
right
we
now.
We have a nick. Gina is going to be known, and I want you to start calling more Gina. Gina the Manifester. That's going to be her nickname. Gina the Manifester.
Gina Sunshine.
Got it.
So
that's even better.
Next Monday. Yes. Next Monday. Gina Sunshine. You and your dog. You will be fast passed to the front of the line. Win, lose, or draw. Okay. So
right,
whatever
Jason.
Happens, if they win, you come on here and you take a manifesting victory lap like nobody's business. If they lose,
oh, Jason, but I'm gonna challenge that. Can you continue to manifest and stop with your negative thought talk?
I don't. All right,
yeah, Jason.
Let's be honest,
Jason. Well, it's got to be a team effort.
Yeah, Jason.
I'll do my part.
Yeah. No, you just do your part. I'm not doing my part.
Thank because you, Gina.
Here's the issue. Compared to Homer Tausch, I may look negative. You should meet the beat writing corps. I am as positive as it gets from that group. So comparatively,
because negativity sells.
Gina,
let's be honest.
Yeah,
that's why
I'm not that guy. I'm not saying they suck. I'm not saying they can't win. I'm certainly not as optimistic as you and Gina are. No doubt. And that's why I want you to call back. If they win, hey, let party like it's 1999 right here on this show. Because that would be a hell of an accomplishment. And Jalen Hurts is going to be rusty. But are they going to stop Saquon Barkley? Are they going to be able to defend A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? I'm not sure they can. If they have to get into a shootout, is Jordan Love and the passing game going to find its rhythm again after 2 weeks of looking like Garbaggio?
Yeah.
Those are facts. Those are concerns.
Fair questions.
That's all. So, Gina, awesome call. Best call of the day. We appreciate it.
Great energy by Gina. We need more Gina.
Some are saying best gumption of any caller. A lot of gumption.
Great gumption.
Outstanding.
That is great gumption.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We'll get to more of your very positive calls. Jesse's going to start screening calls now for positivity. Are you calling to be positive?
No. I want to hear what groceries and what ideas they had, whoever was the caller before.
That was Brian in St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll see if we hear back from him. 844-770-3776 is the number. We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. Coming up, I want to remind you, I always give you the Carbless talk and text line number, 844-770-3776. I always give you another number, too. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices. That number is 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com. David is everywhere, man. I saw him sitting courtside at the Bucks game when I tuned in the other night. What a comeback, by the way.
Did he leave early like you, or did he stay for the whole game?
He was not back in his seat at the start of the third quarter, and then I had to go pick up
somebody
from practice.
You go into halftime.
You got to mingle a little bit in there.
Yeah, he's a mingler, no doubt about it. But I didn't see the end of the game. I was listening on the radio to Dave Kane and our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia, so I don't know if he's in his seat or not. But I do know that he's the best in the business, and if you've been injured, he's the one to call. 414-276-6666. That's Gruber Law Offices. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.